I'm EJ Iannelli, and this is From the Studio. And on this Wednesday morning, we are dividing our time between the KPBX studio and the performance space to talk about Poetry to Music, which is now in its sixth year and is taking place on April 27th. And we just heard Writing a Song, and that is one of the contributions to this year's Poetry to Music event. And that was performed live in our performance space by the composer herself, Rosie Folger-Vent. And as Rosie makes her way into the KPBX studio, we have other guests waiting, and so we can introduce them by name. We have Jonathan Middleton.
Hello.
Hello, Jonathan. And Jonathan is a professor of theory and composition at Eastern Washington University. We also have Anita Lewis.
Hello, nice to be here.
Good morning, Anita. And Anita is representing the Spokane Symphony Associates. We also have Hillary Baird.
Hello.
Hi, Hillary. And Hillary is one of the composers who's taking part in this year's Poetry to Music event. And then we have Rosie.
Morning.
Hi, Rosie. And we just heard from her. And Rosie is a vocalist, pianist, and composer for this year. Now, Jonathan, this is, as I mentioned, the sixth Poetry to Music event. Can you tell us a bit about what Poetry to Music is designed to do? It's a the tagline, I think, is celebrating the union of poetry and music, as the title suggests. But it's also a kind of celebration of the act of composition as well.
Yes, there are a lot of composers who start their careers writing songs. And so it's a really natural thing for young composers to work with poetry. It's 50% of the song. And it's a great way to teach composition, to engage students in writing songs. And we are just super delighted to be able to do that for a purpose that's greater than just the concert stage, but actually to help the Spokane Symphony.
And how long have you been participating in this?
I think Janet Lambarth contacted me in 2017, and I think our first event was in 2018, roughly. We did have a little hiatus during the pandemic when it was really hard for us to do something meaningful, but it's been a couple of years, enough that I'm starting to lose track.
But you have been involved with it since its inception.
Yes, I think so. Yes.
So what is the philosophy behind poetry to music, as opposed to just saying, hey, there's a composition opportunity? What is the greater concept behind it?
So originally, we were going to work with a local poet, which we did, and that was very productive. We actually had the poet come to our classroom, and we worked with the poet and a whole collection of poems. And that has evolved to me giving the students a little bit more free rein to work with any poetry they wanted to work with, preferably shorter poems, because we have so many students now in our class. We had about 17 last quarter working on songs for this project. And due to the sheer number of students, I scaled down the length of the poems. And it's basically evolved from working with a local poet to that being an option, not an obligation.
And so you said you have about 17 students in your class who are taking part in this, but Gonzaga is also involved in this as well. So are they complementing those 17 with, say, an additional 17?
So they have a cohort of composers as well, and I think it's great that the Spokane Symphony Associates is including composers from multiple institutions, academic institutions. It's a really great way to engage the community even further. But the fact that we had 17 students in our class last quarter doesn't mean we'll have 17 songs for the event.
I see.
We had to be selective at some point. But I just had so many students to work with. We decided to scale down the length of the poems and the selection of poetry.
And I want to give credit where credit's due. So you are representing or spearheading this on Eastern Washington University's behalf. And it's Michael Knopf who is doing this on Gonzaga's behalf, no?
Correct. And Michael's new to the area. He's a new professor. And it was great to meet him and work a little bit with him, too.
And how did you get into contact with him? Had his predecessor at Gonzaga been involved in this? And then when Michael came on board, you said, hey, let's bring him into the fold?
I think it's through Anita and the Spokane Symphony Associates. They said we'd like to bring Gonzaga in on the event. And I said, great. And then through them, I managed to connect with Michael.
Anita, that's as great a place as any to bring you into this and talk about how this event evolved under the aegis of the Spokane Symphony Associates. Why did the Spokane Symphony Associates feel as though this would be a worthwhile event?
Well, I'm part of the Cantabile chapter of the Spokane Symphony Associates, which is associated with the Spokane Symphony Chorale. And so most of us are in the chorale. And Janet Lambarth, she had the idea 6 years ago for this as a fundraiser, and because she's interested in poetry and music together. And it was her idea to engage Eastern Washington University and other composers. So that's how it evolved.
Yeah, and it sounds like it was very collaborative from the get-go. It wasn't something that the Spokane Symphony Associates or the Cantabile chapter wanted to organize entirely by themselves, but they wanted to bring other folks into the fold.
Yes, very much so.
And Rosie, since we just heard a composition of yours, I figured we'd talk about this. Now, this is the somewhat meta writing a song, or I guess it would be really meta if it were singing a song.
Yeah.
So is this about the act of composition and the act of composing this piece in particular?
Yeah. So the song is, I mean, it's more about liking somebody and wanting them to like you back, I guess. But I kind of used the like hook of writing a song as a way to explain that this is what I can do in the meantime. And that's how that came about.
And you are a student of Jonathan's
in
his composition class?
Yeah.
Okay. And how was this opportunity presented to you? Is it part of the curriculum or is it something that's maybe extracurricular?
It's part of the curriculum. I take composition every quarter. And in each class, we have a different theme each quarter. So last quarter, our theme was songs. And so we did a lot of songwriting, and we also did string quartet.
Okay. And what is your background as a musician and a songwriter?
I have been writing songs since I was very little. I think I wrote my first song when I was like 3 or something with my mom. And so it's just something I've always done. I've always sat down at the piano and written music. And then since being at Eastern, I've kind of expanded more and gotten more into composing for other instruments and other ensembles besides just voice and piano.
Yeah, I was going to ask how your approach to composition has changed, and it sounds like you're incorporating more instruments into that. Has your songwriting maybe become more complex?
Yeah, especially since I've learned more notation and learned about different instruments, and also I'm a music technology student, and so the recording side of things has also influenced my songwriting and made it more complex. So I utilize notation software and my recording software and kind of compose while I guess. I don't know how to explain that.
A very holistic approach to composition. And with this, did you have the lyrics already available to you and then you composed a tune to them? So when I think of the fusion of poetry and music, I think of maybe a pre-existing poem that then gets paired with music. Or was this something where maybe the music came about first and then the lyrics evolved?
This song I wrote at the same time, like lyrics and chords at the same time. I just sat down at the piano and put it on the page, I guess, all at the same time. I do sometimes like take a poem from someone else or write a poem before I write the music.
And it was in a relatively poppy vein. Is that the genre in which you tend to operate, or do you really kind of expand beyond that and dabble in classical and art music and then maybe a little bit of jazz as well?
Most of my songwriting, especially previously to being in composition, has been in that range, and so I still do a lot of songwriting like that. But I do some classical works. I'm doing a senior recital next week, and one of the pieces on that is a song that has four voices, and it's more classical than poppy. So,
and I'm curious about poetry to music and how this compositional opportunity maybe differs from your garden variety compositional opportunity. What is it about this event that made you maybe approach this in a different way?
I guess I just really wanted the music to really communicate the poetry, and I like the idea of writing a song is what we do, and so that's what the music communicates as well.
Yeah. And Hillary, I'd like to bring you in as a composer. Now, you have created a composition called Supermoon, and I'd like to discuss that in a little more detail a little bit later, because we're going to hear that performed live. And so just ahead of that, it would be really nice to talk about Supermoon. But as far as the general compositional opportunities that this offers, and also your background as a composer. Now, you are a student at Eastern?
Yes, I'm a senior, so I'll be graduating at the end of the spring quarter.
Oh, fantastic. And is your background similar to Rosie's, where you've been composing since a very young age?
I started teaching myself to compose when I was 10 years old, and I would actually take poems out of books and turn them to songs on my own. And I knew from a young age that I wanted to be a composer and a piano teacher, and so I ended up doing my associate's level degree at Spokane Falls, and then I transferred here to Eastern Washington to complete at the bachelor's level.
And with this compositional opportunity that, I was just talking to Rosie about, how is poetry to music a little bit different from the compositional assignments that you might get in class?
It is going to expand my horizons in a really profound way. And I really like this project that we're doing where we take a poem and it almost honors the poet in a way. It kind of helps highlight their work and get their work out there too. I like the idea that you can turn their art into sound.
Yeah, and so we'll talk about Supermoon in a minute, but I also want to acknowledge some of the other composers who are participating in this. So Jonathan, I was hoping you'd be able to speak on their behalf, and you've got, is it Jonathan Arguello?
Yes.
Okay. And he's one of the composers that's involved in this, but there are also others.
Yeah, Jonathan was involved last year. Unfortunately, this year he was unable to get his ensemble ready for the Poetry to Music event. But we do have Madison Bricky, a new student in composition, transferred to us from the Tri-Cities. Duff Overstreet has a piece for vibraphone and two cellos and vocalist. Hillary, obviously. Zachary Bergstrom, phenomenal pianist, has a poem that he set by Robert Frost called Fire and Ice. Grace Knoll will be returning. She plays vibraphone and has a piece called Darkness. And then there's Richard Shockley, has a poem that he set by Sarah Teasdale called April, and it's for choir a cappella.
I'm so glad that you talk about that Robert Frost poem. That's one of my personal favorites. Some say the world will end in fire, some say in ice. It's so I'm very keen to hear what music they might have paired with that. But it sounds like there's a real variety of instrumentation here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we heard a pop-oriented piano ballad, but when you talk about vibraphone and some of the other instrumentation that's involved in this, do you kind of encourage that eclecticism?
I do, and I think your audience will notice the difference between Hillary's piece at the end of the segment versus Rosalie's at the beginning. That's part of our strength in our composition program, is to foster and accept and be inclusive to all styles of composition. And the way I do that is I foster the creative process as the priority, not the style.
And when we were talking about opportunities that this affords, now, are composers using this as an opportunity to branch out and experiment with new instruments?
Yes. I think there was a little bit of a challenge because the Hamilton Studio does not have a grand piano or baby grand piano. So I said to the students, if you write for piano, we're going to probably bring our electric keyboard, which I think does a nice job. But I also encouraged them to write songs for other instruments in non-traditional ways. So we have a song with a vocalist and marimba. And as I said before, a song with vibraphone and two cellos. It brings more colors, possibilities. It brings more energy in different ways. And it's just really nice. For me, it's really great to see the diversity of instrumentation and styles. I think that's a real strength because the students learn from each other, and they're exposed to different things, and that's part of their education.
And Anita, this is a fundraiser for the Spokane Symphony Orchestra via the Spokane Symphony Associates. So how does it feed into that mission of being both a creative endeavor and a fundraising endeavor?
Well, we're hoping that people will be really interested to come hear these young composers and will come and donate to the symphony through this event. So it's basically a fundraiser, and we just really invite people to come and participate.
And we heard that piece from Grace Ahola, which was composed for the Spokane Youth Symphony, or I believe it was the Philharmonic. And I would guess that an ulterior motive of this, or maybe an additional benefit, would be that it cultivates the next generation of composers for, you know, the Spokane Symphony. Is that kind of a maybe loftier ambition, Jonathan?
Yes, certainly that's a big step, but certainly in that spirit. What's also exciting for the fundraiser is for the audience to ask the composers questions. And you have to imagine that when Spokane Symphony performs music by a new composer, often they'll have that composer ahead of time before the performance in a Q&A with James Lowe, and they get to hear from the composer that way. But in this case, the audience hears the music first, and then they get to ask the composers questions, which is, I think, very engaging for the audience. Year after year, the participants have really enjoyed that back and forth moment that Janet was helping facilitate last year, and we get all kinds of wonderful questions like, how did you choose what key you to write the piece in? And at the time, I thought to myself, oh no, I don't remember how my students chose the key. And then one of them stepped forward and said, well, we rolled dice. Dr. Middleton had us roll dice to choose the key, because I had these 12-sided dice with pitches on them. And I said to myself, that's right. Now I remember.
And before we talked to Hillary about Supermoon, there's one person that's involved in this who really embodies this union of poetry and music, and that's Chris Cook. Chris is a former Spokane Poet Laureate. He's also second trumpet for the Spokane Symphony Orchestra. So what is his involvement in this?
Well, he is going to be reading one of his poems that he's going to choose. And then his poem, Bones, he'll also read, and one of the Gonzaga students has put that to music. So that will be the very first piece on the program.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Rosie, I'm going to give you this opportunity to head back out into the performance space and prep for Supermoon. And while you do that, Hillary, I'd like to talk about this piece and your compositional approach. This is a very unique instrumentation because it's alto sax and vocals.
So I really like the instruments that I chose. I really like the fact that voice kind of represents the moon. It's kind of high above us. And that the saxophone represents the emotions that the poem is trying to give off. I was like, this is a really good idea to have those two instruments come together in a really unique blended way to really convey the message of the supermoon above us.
And was Supermoon a poetic composition of your own, or did you look elsewhere and find it in, say, a collection of poetry?
So Supermoon is a poem that was written by Bridget White. She has a website called BridgetTales.com, and there you can find more of her amazing work. And so I was looking online for a good poem that would match these instruments, and I Googled it, and I was reading it. I was like, this is going to be perfect. This is going to be the perfect instrumentation for those. So here is the poem Supermoon by Bridget White. We look upwards towards a promise. We are small, but not alone. We are lonely, but not small. She sees us, our broken hearts, our shadow shapes, how we twist, moving in parallel, dreaming in sync. Maybe bright means lighter than before. We stand quiet. Hands reach out. We look upwards towards a promise.
Well, thank you. And then we're going to hear that in sung and saxophone form in just a second. But just to remind our listeners that I have been speaking this morning with Jonathan Middleton, Anita Lewis, Hilary Baird, and Rosie Folger-Vent about poetry to music. So thank you, everyone, for coming in today.
You're welcome.
Poetry to Music takes place on Saturday, April 27th, at the Hamilton Studio, and that's located at 1427 West Dean Avenue, and the start time is 2:30 p.m. For more information on the event and to sign up for it, you can visit SpokaneSymphonyAssoc.org and select the Poetry to Music button at the top of the page. And so, as we mentioned, we're going to close now with another composition for this year's Poetry to Music event. This is Hilary Baird's composition Supermoon, performed live by vocalist Rosie Folger-Vent and saxophonist Jack Hattell.